and gives us an opportunity to break us out of that prison. And he creates a thought that is oriented towards the higher mind. And that thought, we can't identify with it, but we can become aware of it. And when we become aware of it, several things happen. I don't have time to explain all of that. But what happens is our identity gets pulled out of the prison of belief in that thought. And as we head towards the higher thought, like with the intention of believing it, we get caught, as if appropriated, in the space between the thoughts, which is the goal of yoga. The goal of yoga is to be between in the space between the thoughts. And this is the method that's already set up in the mind to make that happen. And so we get appropriated there, but what happens is then you're caught in supreme eye conscious awareness. This is the goal of life, right?
Too bad.
Yeah, no kidding. But but something happens there, and that is that the mind that created the thought that you believed and that had thought that it had a hold on you, now it notices that you're gone. You're not there anymore. You don't believe that thought, and it's thinking, oh my God, where's my prisoner? Where the hell is my prisoner? Oh, look, he's over there daydreaming, hallucinating about this mind stuff. We need to be taking care of the body. And so it starts creating all kinds of, what do you call it, Jonathan? Imaginative things that are not upward-bound imagination, they're downward-bound imagination, and it makes up the most unscrupulous lies in order to get you to come back to identifying with the thought. And it creates all kinds of
promises,
conditions where it scares the hell out of you. Oh my God, if I stay here, I might die. Oh, I might I might lose my mother. It's like the mafia coming and telling you it's going to break your legs or something. And the thoughts that it makes in order to get you to give up that space of freedom in supreme eye consciousness. These unconscionable lies that it makes up, but they succeed. They get you to come back.
But it knows everything about you, so it can. It's a master. It knows every thought you've ever had, so it can
plug in.
It
anything.
Can plug into your any fear you got. It
yeah. This has had a hold of you all of your
right,
life.
Right. So it knows. It plays you like a fiddle. Keep going.
But you know what? It's right in a way, because if we're going to stay there all the time, who's going to pay the bills?
They'll get paid.
Okay.
Thank you. Beautiful.
That's the one that you bought into.
the one that...
I didn't say I bought it. I know it exists.
The one that you're an ally. Okay.
There's a better explanation than yours. Although your explanation is there's a better explanation for it in this book here.
Which book is it?
And it's just called The Stanzas on Vibration. Okay. Spandakarika. So it's a Kashmir Shaivism book. Mm-hmm. And he says that when you're in the space between the thoughts, that you're in the experience of the great sky. They call it the great sky. And they say, then, in that great sky, when the sun and the moon dissolve away, and the sun and the moon are the identity type and the other identity type, the hypothesis and the higher hypothesis in the mind, dissolve away, the dull-minded yogi is cast down.
Back in the prison.
The dull-minded yogi is cast down into a state like that of deep sleep.
Rip Van Winkle, we're in the town of Rip.
Okay. The awakened, however, remains lucid. The awakened, however, remains lucid. So it isn't about staying up there. That's not what this dream work is about. It's about learning how to go back into the prison of the thought generator, when it's appropriate to do that, when we need to pay the bills. Yeah, but we don't just fall for every lie that he tells us and become afraid and rob ourselves of that great, because what it says down here later is that this indeed is the arising of that object of meditation in the mind of the meditator, namely the meditator's realization of his identity with that space by the force of his intent. So most people, when they go there, they don't even know that they're there. They don't even realize that they're in the space between the thoughts. They just realize, oh my God, what happened here? And then the mind starts reacting, and then they fall for that, and they forget even where they were. So it's about getting the experience of learning that you're there, and then by the force of your intent, learning how to be in control of whether you stay there or whether you go back to believing in thoughts. So that you become the master of that process instead of being a victim of it. That's what that is. And so the dream work is established in order to train people to become the masters of that process. So Sahadev, I'm going to take it easy on you and give you an experience of how this process goes, because you don't remember the time that I did it with you that one time. And we'll do Dominic's dream first.
Good. Okay, and this is a dream I had the 23rd of August.
Oh my God, that was really recent.
I've been having little short bursts of dreams.
Some people tell me dreams that they had 25 years ago. So.
I have a quick question.
Okay.
As part of a dream work culture, is there some way at some point that we could, like, not sagar, not Maharashali, but kind of
set the intention,
like, instead of, you know, like, something.
Okay. Thank you, Jonathan. I realized that we didn't do that.
I mean, before you stream.
I realized that we didn't do that, and because we are, actually, it's a good thing. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Because we are actually here for the developmental experience of learning how to recognize when we are in the space between the thoughts, when we are in Supreme Eye Consciousness awareness. I want to take just a minute and go inside and dedicate yourself to that experience and to learning how to recognize it so that you can be able to learn how to choose when to stay there and when to leave. Okay, so we're going to do that just for a couple of minutes. Thank you. So welcome, everyone. We're going to listen now to the dream images of Dominic, and what we're looking for is the thought and the belief in a thought, and we're looking for that to be his hypothesis of himself in his world and the situation that he's living in right now. Even though this was the 23rd of August, this is the one that's prevalent for him today. He hasn't dealt with this process. And then what we're looking for is the intuition or the higher hypothesis, which is designed to break him out of that prison into supreme mind conscious awareness, and to see whether he was able to do that or not. And if he did do it, which I think he did, is he able to remember, which I think he probably wasn't able to remember it. Because it is a very fast happening thing like that. But maybe he was able to remember it.
So I'm in a house, and I don't remember what I'm doing. Remember that there was a large party going on, and it was at dusk. It seemed like it wasn't in the middle of the day. It was dark, but I could still see things. And everything was disorganized, and there was tables out on the lawn, and there was items just placed everywhere, strewn everywhere, like they were having a garage sale. Or they were getting ready to move, and
Cat's just gonna move into your dream.
It was on the inside of the house and on the outside, and there was just people walking all over the place. And then there was this table, and it was just set up in the garage, and there was things all over it, and I had a glass of wine. And I went to pour it into another glass on the table, and then for some reason the glass wasn't there, and the wine went all over the table, and I remember cursing, and then I started to clean up this wine with a rag. That's the end of that sequence. He's the permaculture teacher that Ramdas and I know. And he's showing me a rack of small little face towels. And they're in a shelf like this. And instead of...
Show me again, Dominic. I didn't see you.
He goes over to this rack of, hand towels, and they're all one color, and they're all stacked up real neatly on top of each other, one after another.
Okay.
And they don't go to the left or right. They go up to the ceiling, totally out of reach. And it just seems kind of silly that they're stacked like that, because how could you even get one of them without the whole stack falling over? And this is what I'm saying to myself.
Okay, slow down a bit, please. Your question, how do I get a towel out of the stack when it's stacked all the way up to the damn city?
Yeah.
That's like your question about who's going to pay the bills. Who's going to pay the bills here? Come on. You know? How can you have this all like this? We're not going to go over to heaven
exactly.
With these goddamn hand towels. We need to be able to get one. How are we going to get it without tearing the whole stack down?
Yeah. And then he has a ladder. And he comes over and he walks up and he puts one right on top. And he comes down to me and he says, this is how I do it. And he starts laughing, and it was the most beautiful laugh, you know, and it made me laugh at the same time. His laughter was contagious enough to make me laugh, and that was it.
Okay. We're all laughing. All right, good. So now, in the same way that we, when we're born into our body, we don't know who we are, and we don't do a very good job as we go through our life in finding out the answer to that question, do we ask ourselves all the time, who am I? And so it becomes like the classical question. Whenever you go to the greatest masters in the world, they teach you to ask yourself, well, who am I? Who am I? And the reason is we got a lot of different identities going on in our head. And the question is, which one of them am I? Which one am I? Like in this situation here, I'm identified with a guy who says, I'm trying to get a towel out of this thing and I don't want to knock the whole thing over. And this other guy comes along and says, well, I take a ladder and get up there. That's how I do it. And he starts laughing, and then this one starts laughing. So is he now the one who uses the ladder, or is he the one who's having trouble with the thing and blah, 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 and so on and so forth? Because who are you in the dream?
I'm all of them.
Okay, but in a real sense, you're all of them. But in another sense, let's keep our feet on the ground here.
At least we got the minute.
Oh, wait a minute. You gave him a hint.
Damn you. Let's keep our feet on the ground and say, well, which one are you? Well, I was Dominic in the dream, and the other guy was Philip.
Yeah.
Well, are you Philip too? No, he's Philip somebody else.
Yeah.
He thinks completely different than I do. I have no way of thinking like he thinks. Right?
Right.
Do you notice that you don't have any access to his method of thinking? That it wouldn't have occurred to you to bring the ladder?
Yeah. But he knew what I was thinking.
He knew what you were thinking.
Because he said, this is how I do it. I didn't indicate that I was upset or that I was questioning his method. I was just looking at the stack, and all of a sudden he says, this is how I do it.
Yeah.
Did he read your mind?
He must have.
Okay, I'll teach you how to read his.
Okay.
So anyway, I need to know what's going on here, so I'm going to ask a bunch of questions. Because I'm at a house inside and outside. It's messy, stuff all over the place, inside and outside. It's either a garage sale or ready to move, table. Okay, now this, how are you feeling in all of this?
Weirded out, just
okay.
Unsettled.
Okay. Now, the way that a dream is structured and functions is that while you're thinking the thought or believing the thought that is imprisoning you, jnanam bandha, the belief or the knowledge is a prison, while you're believing that thought, you have a particular feeling that accompanies that thought. That's why I ask the question, what are you feeling? Then something happens in the dream to make the dreamer aware of the higher order of thinking. And that changes his, that pulls his identity out of that prison of belief. And it also changes his way of feeling. So we call that the turning point in the dream. And every dream functions like that. Every dream has a turning point, even if you only see a little tiny a picture and that's it. Okay, so we're looking for the feeling, we're looking for what happens to change the feeling, and we're looking for the higher order of feeling and the higher order of thinking. And then we're looking for the space in between. So I'm feeling weirded out. You know what, Dom? I'm sorry, but Sahadev, some ever felt weirded out?
Sure.
Do you ever feel weirded out? Do you think that your feeling of weirded out is different than his?
I don't know.
Do you ever feel weirded out, Jonathan?
I assume it's the same as everybody else.
Okay, I assume that it's different.
Okay.
In the same way that everyone's face is different, and everyone's body shape is different, everyone's feeling of weirded out is different too. So when he says weirded out, I know what I am thinking when I'm feeling weirded out, but I don't know what you're thinking. Because you added the word unsettled to it. I feel weirded out, unsettled. And so that adds a complication to weirded out. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
So I'm thinking to myself, what's going on here? Is it a party? Or is it a garage sale? Or why are all the things out in the lawn? You know, are they trying to sell it? Or is it, are they moving? What are they doing with all this stuff? And then there's a lot of people around. And so I get the feeling it's a party.
Uh-huh.
I get the feeling it's a party, but I don't know why all these items are outside like they're having a garage sale. You know?
Combination of party and garage sale.
Could be.
So my dream come true.
But to hell with his dream, right?
Yeah.
Your interpretation.
It's my experience.
Yeah.
Okay. Plus, it's
I've never been
dark.
To a party garage sale in my life.
And so I'm wondering, why can't I see everything? Mm. You know, I mean, it's just kind of dark.
Okay, so now you're telling me something that is that explains to me what you mean by weirded out.
Yeah.
Why can't I see everything?
Yeah, I can't. I can't. It's not a bright day. It's like dusk.
Okay. All right. So can I ask you this question?
Yeah.
When you first said that there's all this stuff all over the place, and why is this stuff here? I had the feeling that you didn't like seeing all of that stuff there. And now you're saying, why can't I see all of it? So now I'm getting the opposite kind of a sensation. Like there's a whole bunch of stuff there. And that your discomfort is that you can't see all of it.
Well,
is that what you're trying to tell me?
That I can't see it because in my mind I can't see it. But I'm looking there and all I see is disorder. People and items and plus there's no light. It's like a dust party.
Oh, dust?
Dusk.
Party, where it's getting, there's no light anymore. And so I'm having trouble seeing things.
Okay, so what is happening is the dreamer is keep adding information. More information is coming.
Sure.
Like in an auditing session. Go back to the beginning and go over it again and pick up whatever additional data you can contact.
Yes.
Right? This is a different process, but I am looking to try to understand what it is that he's telling me. And so,
understand the exact feeling he's having.
I've got more of a clear feeling of what he's experiencing, but I don't really know now whether he likes all of this stuff being out there.
No, I remember that I didn't like it. I didn't like it, and I was inside the house too.
Okay.
I remember being inside the house too, and then I walked to the outside.
Okay, so And then you're disturbed that it isn't light, that there's no light there.
Yeah.
That makes it possible for you to see.
Yes.
You don't want to see more stuff. You just want to be able to see the stuff that's there.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right. So you're upset that all this stuff is there, but you do want to see it. I'm asking.
No.
What then?
I don't care if it's there or not. I just find myself here in this place, and I can't see it.
Okay, usually this is how a dream starts. we just find ourselves at the beginning of a dream. You know, we're in it. You can still remember yours?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Well, mine's very short.
And we don't know how we got there. We don't know what it's about. We don't know why we're there. We don't really know what we're going to do there. But our identity type tells us what to do. And his identity type is telling him, there's all this stuff here to see, and you're supposed to look at it.
Yeah.
And he's frustrated because there isn't enough light for him to see it. That's what I'm finally getting.
Yes. That's okay. It. Hmm. That's it.
Okay.
But does he need to see it to create a sense of order, or does he need to see it because he wants to see the others, or because he just wants to get clear on his environment? Or is that irrelevant?
No, Jonathan. Now, Jonathan was born when the sun was in Aries. And so when he sees a whole bunch of stuff, he's going to be approaching it one way. But Dominic was born when the sun was in Gemini, so when he sees a whole bunch of stuff, he's going to be approaching it like a Gemini. He's going to be wanting to look, oh, there's a glass, oh, there's a cup, oh, here's a book,
that looks like
oh, look, there's a thing over here. Oh, there's lights in the ceiling and they're not turned on. Hey, can somebody turn some lights on around here? No, he doesn't. I wish somebody would, he doesn't even say, hey, would you turn some lights on? He just notices that there are no lights and he doesn't know how to say, can somebody turn some goddamn lights on? You know, Jonathan would say, oh, look, I can't see. But where are the light switches? Right? Hey, can you come over here and tell me how to turn this light? Come over here and turn this light switch on so I can see what's going on here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What would I do? Aquarius.
There's an Aquarius in the sun? Well, but you're Pisces in the moon, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so a woman identifies with the moon, I don't want to get into a fight with her.
Most women I found like to hear that.
Yeah, I know, that's true. But the last two women that were here got into a fight with me over it, and they never came back, and thank God. We're grateful for the ones that come, and we're grateful for the ones that don't come. So, anyway, you would not ask for somebody to turn the lights on?
Well, I would tell somebody to do it for me.
Yeah, you wouldn't do that either. Yeah.
What would I do?
Now I'm going to get into a fight with you.
No, I'm
going to take a guess what fight is.
No, I mean, see, because all of us have two ways of thinking in our mind, and one way of thinking would not tell anybody to turn the lights on. The other way of thinking would tell somebody to turn the lights on, but you'd identify with the one that wouldn't tell the people to turn the lights on. It would only be your intuition. Oh, you tell somebody to turn... Something in your mind would say, tell somebody to turn the lights on for you. And you would say, well, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how. I'm afraid I'll offend somebody if I tell them to turn the lights on.
That's him.
That's him. Okay, so here we are, Dom. We want to see the things that are on the table, right?
Yeah, because there's all these items and I can't see them.
Okay, it's dusk and so the lights need to come on. Is that true? Are there any lights
well,
in the ceiling?
Well, the sun needs to come up. I'm outside.
Okay. Well, we don't want to wait for the sun to come up. So maybe we can ask somebody to turn the lights on.
If there's outside lights.
There's no lights outside.
Oh, well, maybe they are.
I don't know. In
history, otherwise, he would be on.
Now, I'm sure that I can find a lifer inside of his head to shine on that stuff that's on the outside, because it's all inside of his head. We got all kinds of mechanisms around here. You watch in a minute, he's going to be able to see all that stuff. Because you see, he's confronted with a situation where there's a bunch of stuff, and he has a need to see it. He has a need to see it. Something is driving him to be able to see this stuff. And he's frustrated that he can't see it.
Yeah, and I get a glass of wine, and I'm going to pour it into another glass, and there's no freaking glass on the table, and it goes all over the table, and I say to myself, I thought I saw a glass there.
Okay, that's a whole nother problem. Oh. We can go there. We can go there and address that, because no matter which issue we address, it will resolve all of the issues.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. So here you are, let's go to this one. Here you are, you got a glass of wine. What do you want the glass of wine for?
I don't know. I'm not drinking it.
Well, what do you want it for? What do you have it for?
To drink.
To drink, okay, well, so what's holding you back?
I don't know.
Well, think about it.
Maybe I sipped it. Maybe I took a sip.
From the bottom?
Out of a glass.
There's no glass there.
It was a glass of wine. No, I had a glass of wine in my hand. And I don't remember if I sipped it or not.
Okay, so if he didn't know whether he sipped it or not, do I know?
No.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no way of knowing, right?
No, and I can't remember.
Okay, but I'm asking him, why do you have a glass in your hand?
Obviously, it's a party.
Okay, so now the other thing is, why are you at this party?
You're asking me?
It's your dream.
You put yourself there.
No, I didn't.
Okay, see, it's the same thing. Dominic is at a party, and the tables are all set, and he doesn't really know what's going on. Is it a garage sale? Is it a moving away sale? Is it a going away party?
Nothing set. It's just like this. Ships strewn all over the place.
But you can see that it's strewn all over.
Yes. I can make things out like that, but not very clear.
Okay, good.
And all of a sudden I have a glass of wine in my hand.
Right, okay. There you are. You got a glass of wine in your hand. How did you get it? I don't know. All of a sudden it's just there. Okay, now, because knowledge and action is inextricably intertwined, right?
Right.
You're at a party because that's the way you believe.
Right.
Okay? You've got a glass of wine in your hand because that's what you think of yourself.
Right.
I'm the kind of a guy who likes to have a glass of wine in his hand.
You have to have something in your hand.
Right.
You're at a party. You gotta look like you're part of it.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a party.
Okay.
Freaking best.
And then there's a problem, because usually when a person has a glass of wine in his hand, now see how everybody's different? If you had a glass of wine in your hand, you'd set it down.
Or drink it, yeah.
Because you don't drink wine. If you had a glass of wine in your hand, you'd probably set it down. or you'd probably go hand it to Sahadev. Here, you want this? But now what Dominic does is Dominic is doing something, and he's doing it because this is what he knows how to do. But he doesn't know, he's not in touch, he's not conscious of his knowledge. So he goes over and takes a glass of wine like this, and he intends to pour it out of this glass into another one. And he thinks he sees that other glass on the table. Why are you pouring it into another glass?
I have no idea.
Well, why do you want it to be in another glass?
I don't know.
Dominic, go back to the part of the dream where you see the glass of wine in your hand, and you think that you see a glass on the table, and you move towards it to pour the glass into the other glass. Why? See the other glass on the table.
There's no other glass.
What thought goes into your mind? What thought comes through your mind?
That I'm getting rid of the wine. That I don't want it. That I have to pour it out.
Okay. You have wine in your hand.
Yeah.
And you have the sensation, I want to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And
what I'm thinking is that I didn't want to waste it. And so I wanted to pour it into something else.
For what reason? How would that save it from being wasted?
Then I can hold on to my glass. God.
But how would that save the wine from being wasted?
Yeah, I could have just set the glass down.
I know, but how would it save the wine from being wasted by pouring it into another glass?
And somebody else could have it.
Is that what motivates you to pour it?
That's just a guess. I haven't figured it out.
Okay, so now, you see, the conundrum is people say, well, I had a dream, and this is what happened in my dream. What does it mean?
What do you want it to mean?
What does this dream mean?
I want to identify.
What would we? We would call you the interpreter of snakes.
Yeah. Okay. So now I'm Joseph standing in front of the Pharaoh, and I'm about ready to have my head cut off. Right. Because I'm not able to interpret the Pharaoh's dream. Like Joseph in Egypt, he was confronted. But he didn't interpret the Pharaoh's dream either. He did something like this. How much of the wine had gone from your glass onto the table before you noticed that it wasn't going into a glass?
The whole thing. And it was red wine.
And you poured it on the table, and you weren't cognizant of how much of where it was going until all of it was on the table.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have a feeling that you're going through life on a relatively low level of consciousness?
That's nice. Sweet. I was about to say that. That's a dumb motherfucker.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now look. Is this an uplifting revelation? I'm serious, Dom. I know I'm laughing, but I'm serious. This is an uplifting revelation to realize that you're basically kind of like going through life unconscious.
No, that's not uplifting.
It isn't?
No. Why would that be uplifting?
Well, we're laughing about it. That's uplifting, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Okay. So isn't there a wonderful potential?
Sure.
In being able to recognize this?
Sure.
Aren't we all looking for more consciousness and for more conscious awareness in our life?
Sure.
Aren't all of us looking for that? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's uplifting that it's funny, but about changing it, I don't know.
Okay.
You have potential to change it.
Okay. So, Dominic, would you feel a lot better if you had poured the wine into another glass?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Okay. So what I have a suspicion here, although I can't really see it yet, is that you're in a situation at a party where you got a glass of wine in your hand. And the way that I understand you talking to me, you don't want this wine, but you do want the glass. I know that there are many alternatives, so let's just go with this one.
All right.
That you have this glass of wine, you want the glass, but you don't want the wine. You see a glass on the table, okay?
I can't see the glass of wine in my hand either. I just know it's there.
Yeah, it's all right. I saw a woman one time take I won't do it with that glass. I'll do it with this. I'll say this is a glass of wine, all right? Okay. She got a glass of water in her hand. And she walks up towards the kitchen sink, towards the kitchen counter with a glass. And she's thinking, oh, I've got to go and do the laundry and put this down. Oh, it didn't. The way that she did it was, it fell like this. Oh, and it fell on the floor and broke.
Yeah, I've never done that. I think we've all done that.
So anyway, she wasn't conscious of what was of the environment. She wasn't in control of her environment.
Yes.
She was just going through motions and was completely unsatisfied. Wasn't accomplishing anything that she wanted to accomplish. Okay, so here you are, and you're trying to accomplish something. You're trying to accomplish several things, because life is about knowing who we are, knowing how we're doing what we're doing, and knowing how to get what we want. It isn't really much more complicated than that. You can break it down into most everything falls into those categories.
In the dream, you're trying to find Dominic's intention, why he's taking that action? Is that what we're trying to discover?
Yeah.
The root of it?
What is causing him... Right. What is inspiring him? See, everybody moves because of what they know. And sometimes we're conscious of what we know and sometimes we're unconscious of what we know. But there isn't anything that moves that isn't moved by knowledge. Knowledge and action are inextricably intertwined. This is a basic tenet of Kashmir Shaivism, and it is provable. This tenet of Kashmir Shaivism holds that we do that every action happens because knowledge drives it. Whether it's God's knowledge or your knowledge or your neighbor's knowledge or your girlfriend's knowledge, you know, whoever knows
it. You're exhibiting that right now.
Yeah.
The thing went off, you had knowledge about that you wanted to drink. You just demonstrated.
I know I got a drink every half hour, and so I set that thing and every...
So we're trying to find out what's driving his action.
Yeah. And so Dominic is finding himself at a party. He doesn't know what this situation is. He knows that he wants to know what the situation is. He doesn't know how to find out. But he's looking around and he thinks that if I can see all of these things, what these things are, then maybe I'll know what's going on here. And so he's disturbed, unsettled, and feeling weirded out because he can't quite see the stuff. Okay, so we can act on this. We could say, well, what does it take to be able to see?
Light,
okay. How do you get light in that situation?
You turn the outside lights on.
See, there are outside
lights. If there are.
Okay. Did it occur to you to turn the outside lights on?
No.
It didn't?
No.
Does it now?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, see, I as a dream work facilitator,
yeah.
I would not say to him, well, go over and turn the lights on. I wouldn't say that. You know why? Because I would be telling him something to do, and that would be my knowledge. It needs to be his knowledge. Okay, so it's the same with pouring the glass of wine into another glass.
Right.
So what does it take for you to get light into this area?
Well, I have to go and find the wall that the light switch is on.
Okay, whose house is this?
I don't know.
Is there anybody there?
Yeah, there's all kinds of people.
Okay, well, who is in charge of this party?
There's a woman in charge.
There's a woman in charge,
there's
okay.
A woman.
Okay, now I'm finding out things by asking questions, okay? Because
yeah.
This is part of the dream.
And I forgot to tell you this.
Yeah, there's a woman in charge. Is it her house?
I think so.
Okay, does it make sense to ask her? Am I? Could you think? Are you the only one who can't see?
I think so.
Everybody else can see, but
everybody else is milling around just fine.
And they're fine, okay. but you can't see.
I can't see.
For you, there's no light.
No.
Well, okay.
Not true. I can see, but not clearly. It's like dusk, I keep saying. It's like dusk.
Okay. It's like dusk. I'm just trying to get you.
But I've said it all once now. And I'm trying to make it clear. And I know it's confusing. But I can make out silhouettes. And it's, you know how it's when it gets dark? When it starts to get real dark and you squint? That's what it's kind of like.
Okay, now my question is the lack of light,
yeah.
It's bothering you, but is it bothering anyone else?
No.
Okay, so I have a sense, I asked this question deliberately because I have a sense that Dominic's experience at this party of the light is different than everybody else's experience. And so,
yeah, that's true, because the people are carrying on as if there's no problem.
Okay.
You know?
So now, if you, so
I'm just very curious. What is it you experience? There's no light. It feels like you get animated when you talk about there's no light. I wonder what's going on.
Well, it isn't that there's no light, but I just can't see things clearly.
Right. You can't see clearly, and it's affecting you somehow.
It is. It's making me irritated.
Yeah. Irritated.
You know, like, what is this? I mean, you know, what are those things on the table? Is this a...
Okay.
You know, I can't make out. That's an item, but I don't know what it is. That's something, but I don't know what it is.
But everyone else at the party doesn't care about this junk. They're just at the party doing their thing.
Yeah.
And where is any of that irritation? Okay. Do you feel it now?
Irritation. I don't really feel it in my body right now.
In your head?
Yeah. It seems in my mind.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so...
But the real irritating part was when I poured the wine.
Yeah, okay. Well,
that's when I cursed in the dream. And I think I said, God damn it.
Yeah. Well, that's a pretty good thing to say.
It is. It's crushing your emotion. Damn it.
Most everybody would say that. It's a kind of a socially acceptable thing to say.
Yeah,
when you pour wine on a table, right?
Yeah, and I started cleaning it up.
The frustration was getting more and more urgent. First, you can't see, so big deal. Now you're taking an action you can't see, and there's...
Yes.
It's worse.
Yes.
Okay, but do you notice as time goes by that we know more and more and more about what's going on in this dream? More and more keeps getting revealed?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So now you're focused on this pouring the wine on the table.
Right.
And I want to get there too. But before I do, I want to get some light shining on there. Is that okay? What do we need to do to get to be able to see this stuff clearly?
Well, we need to organize it. And we need to get rid of the disorganization, for one thing. And then either shine some freaking floodlights on it.
Okay.
Because you know, when you go into a room that's everything's laying all over, you really have no idea what's there.
So
it's hard to focus on one thing. Right?
Is this a Virgo or a Gemini?
It sounds like a Virgo.
I think he's a Virgo.
Yeah, but I think the light is creeping in there. I can feel it. And she smiles.
Okay, so what we're looking for here is we're looking for the thought and the intuition,
right,
and the space in between the thoughts. That's the real thing that interests
Christ,
me. Okay, that's why I do dream work.
Yes,
is because I want people to have the experience of supreme eye consciousness identity and to be able to actually identify it by the force of their intent.
Okay.
So that they know exactly how to bring their life in this particular situation that they find themselves in to a higher level of conscious awareness. Because when Dominic gets to see this, he's going to be able to see a bunch of things that are going on in his life. Talk about a mess. You know, the mess seems to be on the table. But the mess is in the circumstance around.
Right.
Like, I've got this going on, I got that going on, I got this going on, I got that going on. I want to do this, I want to do that. I don't want to do this, and this is being demanded of me, and I've got this to do and that to do, and so on and so forth.
Sure.
And so this is what all is being handled in this situation.
Brought up, yeah.
Okay. So the thing that really strikes me is that Dominic says, the reason that I can't see this stuff is not because there's not enough light. It's because of the disarray, the disorder of it, that it needs to be organized. Now, now, there's thought there and there's intuition there. What is the thought, what is the belief, and what is the intuition?
The intuition is the organization was the most upsetting to me, how disorganized everything was.
Okay.
Not that there was a lack of light. And that became clear right now. Just right now to me.
Okay. All right. Good.
Yeah. What's the thought?
I sort of knew that there was adequate light there. You know how I knew that?
Because you could see the disorganization.
Because the other people I needed to know. Were any other people noticing the problem with the light? And he said, no, they weren't. Okay, but were any of the other people having a problem with the disorganization?
Yes, I think some other people were.
Okay, who, for example?
Well, the woman that was in charge,
yeah,
she looked all disheveled, and her dress was, and her hair was messed up, and she just looked disorganized, and I think things were bothering her.
Okay. Now, what do you mean things were bothering her?
Because it was just she was, when I did see her in my mind. She was just, it was like a garage sale, and there was so many things going on. She had no idea what was going on.
Okay, what I would like to ask you to do, yeah, Dominic, is look at the fact that you're dissatisfied with the lack of order,
right?
And that you're dissatisfied with her disheveled appearance.
Yes.
and that she's the woman who owns this place and that she's in charge there.
Right.
And that you have this intuition that the way that you need this place to be and the way you need her to be is you need this place to be organized and you need her to be cleaned up and combed with an orderly dress on. And that you would feel better.
Okay. I can see it a little bit.
Okay, so now what I would like to ask you to do, because you're not going to just go over there and say, hey, can you order this? Can you straighten this place up here, for God's sake?
Yes.
Do you mind going and putting on a decent dress and combing your hair, for Christ's sake? What the hell do you think kind of a presentation you're making here for me? Yeah. I want some order here. No, he's not going to talk to her like that. I'm not going to ask him to do that. I'm going to ask him to formulate the intention in his mind to request this of her and to find out the resistance inside of his body that he's going to feel wherever. Okay, I want you to say, I need to go to this woman because this is her place. And say, I need order here. I need you to order this, get this place organized, and I need for you to get yourself fixed up so that you don't look so disheveled. And tell me, when you formulate the intention in your mind to go and say something like this to her, what happens to you?
I can feel a little heat in my head.
You can feel a little heat in your
head? A little heat in both sides of my temples.
Okay, so what I'm asking him to do, see, is I'm asking him to look, while he's identified in the prison of his thought, where he's living in a disorganized life, and he's wanting there to be order, and he's looking at this woman, and he's looking at her as his emotional mind, and he's feeling like he doesn't get enough support from his emotional mind in order to keep order in his own life. And he's asking... He's formulating the intention to ask her. So now what happens is the sun sign, which is Gemini, rules the hands, the arms, the shoulders, the neck, the head. And the moon, which in Dominic is Sagittarius, rules the torso. So I can tell you that Sagittarius knows how to hold on to the energy. And that Gemini doesn't know how to get it. And so when Dominic... As a Gemini, is at a party, and he's saying to himself, I'm going to go talk to this woman, that he's actually establishing a relationship between his torso and his head, where he is going to unlock locked up energy inside of his torso and allow it to come up into the waking state part of his body. This is the waking state, this is the dreaming state. So this is the sun and this is the moon. Okay. So this is what's happening here. Now I say, where do you feel it? He says, well, I feel heat in my head. Okay, now this man right here, I don't know the rest of you in this regard, but I know this man right here is a student of the movement of energy in the body. And that he studies this on an ongoing basis for years and years and years, going to various seminars around the country, and then working with countless numbers of people to get their energy unlocked, clogged up energy moving from one part of the body to another, because it gets dammed up and it stops the healthy function of the organs. So now what you've got here is is a deficiency of energy moving in from this part of the body to this part of the body, and by getting you to confront this woman on this disorder, you're noticing that it's already starting to happen. However, are you ready to go to her and to tell her what you need?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, then when you look at her, what do you see?
I see a woman in a nice white dress. And all of a sudden, it's like today outside.
Okay, now you notice what happened here? I didn't ask Dominic to do anything. I didn't ask him to say anything to her. I asked him to formulate the intention to say something to her. So that what happened is he was able to know, to find the intuition in his mind, and he was able to believe in that enough that he pulled his identity out of his thought thinking mechanism, and therefore was no longer in the prison of limited knowledge.
Yeah, and that I could ask her.
But I asked you to formulate the intention to ask her.
I didn't go ask her.
I did not ask you to ask her.
Yeah.
And this is one thing that you never want to do in doing dream work with somebody. You never want to tell them, well, do what your intuition is telling you to do. You never want to do that in life either. You never want to tell somebody, do what your intuition is guiding you to do. No, you know why you don't do that? Because that doesn't get them out of the prison. The thing that gets them out of the prison is to formulate the intention to do the intuitive thing. When you formulate the intention to do the intuitive thing, that's what gets you unlocked out of the prison.
By asking them a question.
By asking the person a question,
yes.
but not addressing the other people in the circumstances.
Right.
Like, I just thought he had something to that. See, my experience of this, that light came in when he was expressing his irritation, and expressing, and then he started laughing, and I started laughing. I think that's when I felt light comes in.
Okay, that's when light came in for you. But
I wonder about him.
No. See, you're projecting that onto him, though, Katya, because he said the light came in for me when I formulated the intention to say something to her that I wanted
to
do.
To me, it's combination. That's kind of created platform, because I felt light from him, and then when you add intention, then it's formulated.
How it came in to me, gotcha.
Listen to him now. Okay.
How it worked for me is when I just formulated the intention, and the first thing I said to myself was, yeah, you're gonna go ask her, right, you know, and it was my Gemini. And then I started believing it a little bit. Then all of a sudden I had a vision in my mind of the dream again, and it was all lit up, and the woman was in a white dress, and right now I can feel movement of Shakti right
okay.
now.
So when
that's all it was, but I noticed that that's a lot. That's a lot.
That's a big change.
Okay, but you have to trust the dreamer and believe his experience, because his experience is something that you can't know what anybody else's experience is.
And she actually appreciates me telling her. Mm. And when I did that, her posture straightened up, and just things were bright.
Okay. Now, another thing here that's going on, you see, is that Dominic thought that this woman was in charge, that this was her house. He didn't realize that it was his house and that she is his servant. He thought that she was in charge. And so now what he found out is that he is in charge, not her, and that she's completely dependent upon him controlling the scene. And this is true in everybody's body. The identity is the king. In a woman, the identity is the king. In the man, the identity is the king. There's a king and a queen. This woman is the queen in there. Okay? But you're the king, and this is your house, and this is your party, and this is your life. And what happened is you became the master of that. Now, when you're in this moment of light shining in this place, is it pleasing to you?
Yes.
Okay. And she, is she pleasing to you?
Uh-huh.
Is she pleasing to herself?
She is. She's happy.
Are you pleased with yourself?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm just trying to. I'm trying to go to the next step. What does this mean?
No. Well, are you looking at this scene here, looking at her, realizing that it changed because you said, "I know that I need to be able to see order here,
yeah.
And I need help from her in order to get it, and I need for her to look better."
Right.
And I'm going to formulate the intention to get this done.
Yes.
Okay. So do you feel better about yourself for having formulated this intention?
Yes.
Okay. Formulating this intention broke you out of the prison. It gets you into an experience of supreme eye conscious awareness. Where do you feel the energy moving in your body?
Not sure.
Do you feel any energy moving in your body?
Not right now.
Did you at the moment of the change?
I did. I felt Shakti moving in my head.
In your head?
Yeah.
Okay. Where was it coming from?
It was coming from down below, and it kind of came up, and it was in my temples.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, tell me about the wine glass. Go to the part of the dream where you realize you had a glass of wine in your hand. Can you still see it?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, what do you see?
I see my life being poured all over the table.
Okay.
In a big mess.
Alright.
That's what it means to me.
Okay. That's what happened in the dream.
Yeah.
You poured your life all over the table, making a big mess.
Yeah.
Okay, do you know what that means to you?
Yeah.
Can you see this expressed in your, in the outside world, in your daily life?
I see it as what might be coming up.
Okay, do you see it? Very good, okay, good.
Yeah.
Do you see it as it happened in the dream?
Yeah.
Okay, now go to the point in this memory that we just created,
right,
where you formulated the intention to say to this woman, I want order and I want this, and you see her erect and you see everything well lit and orderly. And from that perspective, can you identify with that moment and can you say to yourself, this is who I really am?
Yes.
This is how I live?
Mm-hmm.
This is how I accomplish what I want to accomplish?
Yes, I can identify with
that. Can you see this, what I'm talking about? Okay, from that perspective, now look at the glass of wine.
Yeah.
What do you see?
It's empty. And it's there's a row of glasses all lined up in order, ready to be used.
Is there a glass in your hand?
No.
Okay. Are you pouring anything out on the table?
No, there's nothing spilled or anything.
Okay, so now what's the difference?
The difference is that there's order now, and that I'm not gonna take wine, which is my life, until I know what the order is.
And you can see that.
I can see that.
Okay, now you guys, he's having a very profound experience of himself and his life. Something that I'm not going to ask him to explain to me. Or
now I feel energy.
Where?
I feel it right here in the pit. Where if you get hit,
solar plexus.
Okay. And what's it doing, that energy?
It's moving.
Where's it moving?
It's moving into both of my arms.
Okay, now knowledge moves things.
Mm-hmm.
What is the knowledge that is moving this energy?
The knowledge is that when I make a move, that there's going to be a plan, unlike before.
Okay, and how do you feel about that?
I feel good.
Now,
really good.
Do you feel any energy anywhere else in your body besides here moving into your arms? Do me a favor, Dom. Please stand up and walk through and into the other room and back and notice the energy in your body. And keep in mind the woman, how she looked erect, and how the place was lit up as you walk.
Well, I feel lighter, that's for sure.
What's the difference between light and heavy?
Well, my hip doesn't hurt as much. Oh, my body's getting old, though.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
No, I feel good.
Okay.
I feel good.
Sagurnan Maharaj Ki Jai. Dominic, thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
You were a brave soldier for going through this process with
us.
Yeah.
Dream Warriors lives.
Well done.